Dr. Seth Moore is Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The Grand Portage Band engages in fisheries and wildlife research projects throughout the year, and Dr. Moore joins us now in the studio to talk a little bit about some of the band's current and ongoing projects. Welcome, Seth. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kara. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about fish mercury levels in Lake Superior, and I'm going to try to explain how that's related to electricity usage and where compact fluorescent light bulbs fall into the mix.
Okay, so the compact fluorescent light bulbs are those new bulbs that everybody's supposed to use?
Yeah, and they're pretty widely endorsed by environmental groups as well, but I'm going to talk about some issues with them. The largest sources of mercury emissions in the U.S. and worldwide are coal-fired power plants. So because coal power plants are the primary source of mercury pollution, reducing electricity by all of us can really help to prevent mercury from getting into the atmosphere, into our fish, and into our own bodies. And so one of the electricity savings devices that has been widely supported by environmental groups are compact fluorescent light bulbs.
Okay, well, I was just doing a little bit of research on that, and they actually contain mercury in them, and they have kind of strict guidelines on how to dispose of them and what to do if you actually break one. It's a little alarming when you look into it that they actually release mercury vapor when they're broken.
Yeah, those are outstanding points, and the average consumer may not realize, first of all, that these CFLs or compact fluorescent light bulbs have mercury, and they really need to take some precautions in terms of disposing them. And so then a person would ask the question, well, if the electricity I'm saving is sort of offset by the possibility that I may be contributing mercury to the atmosphere, what's the right answer?
Mm-hmm.
So I did some research on this because I wanted to know the answer myself. And I found online a bunch of different sources. And one of the things I read said, you know, a potentially growing source of mercury is disposable products such as compact fluorescent light bulbs, personal electronics such as cell phones, LCD TVs, digital cameras, which contain mercury. The mercury eventually leaks into the atmosphere, you know, when they're broken or when they're crushed in a landfill. And so I wanted to answer the question, you know, how does one justify which is better? Do we save electricity or do we try to reduce mercury pollution? So some more research helped me come to some conclusions. So here are some of the facts of the matter from some work that was done by Popular Mechanics, which is a pretty popular science magazine. So the take-home message is that even though there is mercury in these compact fluorescent light bulbs, they still allow less mercury to go into the atmosphere than using conventional bulbs.
Okay. I guess that the key is to dispose of them properly.
That's exactly right. And there's some guidelines on the packaging to do that. But here are some details about that. For each kilowatt hour of electricity that's used, some mercury is released into the atmosphere along with carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen dioxide. These are all released by coal-burning power plants. And so these people that did this study found that over the average lifespan of one compact fluorescent bulb, the electricity generation will emit some amount of mercury, plus there's some amount of mercury in the bulb. But when compared with the average lifespan of a 75-watt incandescent bulb, which is the conventional light bulb, the total mercury emitted is less than the amount of mercury that would be used by generating power to sustain that conventional light bulb for its lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the good news based on doing this research is even if the mercury in a compact fluorescent light bulb was directly released into the atmosphere, which they're usually not, an incandescent bulb would still contribute more mercury into the atmosphere just from the coal power generation.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, I finally got around to starting to buy compact fluorescent bulbs. And I also have to admit that I didn't read the packaging on how to dispose of them.
Well, if this is the time for confessions, then I will make the same confession. I didn't read the packaging either until I got into a conversation with some people about mercury in these bulbs. And that's what actually catalyzed all this research that I've recently done.
Okay. Well, so I made a couple phone calls. I called the recycling center here in Grand Marais to ask them about it. And they recommend keeping them and then coming up when they have their hazardous waste disposal. And they'll take them at that time. And also you can dispose of them at Buck's Hardware, but there is a fee for that.
Those are great tips, and those mm-hmm. will be really helpful to people in this region. because hopefully people are trying to do things that reduce electricity usage, like buying these types of bulbs.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I found out is that if you do break one, you really have to be careful in how you clean it up. It is kind of involved, but you really have to be careful and think about the mercury that are in those bulbs. But I guess getting back to the electricity usage, ultimately they save electricity and then ultimately less mercury is released into the air.
Yep, that's exactly right. And then that leads to the next thing I wanted to talk about, or what are some steps that the average person can do to save electricity and to prevent atmospheric mercury emissions into the atmosphere. And so I did some playing around on a National Geographic website with an energy calculator, and I was looking at, you know, what things I was doing at my own house to try to reduce electricity usage. It turns out in my house, it appears that I'm saving about $132 a year compared to the average U.S. household on lighting energy due to the choice of light bulbs that I use. And I learned also that if every house in the United States took these same steps, it would save about $14.9 billion in energy costs. It would be like shutting down 21 coal power plants. It would be like taking 16 billion cars off the road. And it would reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 82 million metric tons and would cut emissions equivalent to 450,000 rail cars of coal. So I will tell you, I didn't do the math myself. This came from an online calculator, but it's a really interesting website to look at. It's National Geographic, and it's an energy calculator, but it sort of gives some insights on what things that we can do and what those effects are.
They're huge effects just by people deciding to replace their light bulbs. We're talking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's a wildlife biologist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and he joins us regularly to talk about the band's current and ongoing natural resource projects. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about today, Seth?
My daughter Hannah usually provides trivia bits for this radio series, and my son Cade got really interested in trying to put something together as well. So he has one for us today, and that is that polar bears actually appear white, but they have translucent hair and black skin that absorbed light for heat retention.
Wow.
Yeah. So he brought a good one to the table. Apparently their hair is almost clear and they have a dark skin.
Great. Well, Dr. Seth Moore, our pleasure as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Kara.
All right.